Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in today. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you've had a great week thus far. Well, I'm excited for today's show because we're going to tackle something that every one of us knows to some degree, and that is fear. You know what I mean? Fear around anxious thoughts, nagging worries, crippling fears that keep you up at night. We're going to talk about how to win the fear battle and so that it's not something that paralyzes us, not something that we're bullied around by. And I'm excited to talk with Kristen Ditchfield. She's written a book titled What Women Should Know About Facing Fear. Now, I know we've got lots of men listening today, and I know that these concepts will work for you as well. So stay tuned because we've got a great conversation ahead. Before I get Kristen on, I've got just a few quick announcements. First of all, you are invited to take part in the largest baby shower in the Midwest. So between diapers and onesies and bibs, babies cost lots of money. And so we're partnering with New Life Family Services and inviting you to drop off your donations to help brand new moms and dads. You can find out how to get involved on our website, myfaithradio.com. Also, if you are unemployed or underemployed and you want to make some new connections, want to kind of beef up your resume and network a little bit, we're inviting you to the Job to Career Symposium. We're hosting that. Just really aware of the job climate out there. We're bringing in career expert David Stark, and that's coming up at the end of the month. And so that you'll find more information as well on our website. Now, I offered to pay personally for 3 tickets. I only heard from one of you. So if you email me during the show rather than signing up on the website, give me your name, address, and I'll get you signed up and pay for your ticket. You need to be able to go. So check out the information at our website, myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, this is my 3rd announcement. We want to know how we can pray for you in 2014. And so you'll see a banner there, My Prayer for 2014. Tell us what you're going through. Tell us what's on your heart and what keeps you up at night. Because every Thursday morning, we get together as a staff meeting, and it is our honor to pray for you by name. But also, I will tell you, as we kind of take in these prayer requests, we start to see a theme and a pattern in what people are dealing with, and we purposely schedule our programming and the topics we address around the needs that you face. And so that really does help us to know what is going on in your life so we can really be there for you. So that information also is on our website. Lots there, right? MyFaithRadio.com. So here is my question for you. Think about this for me. When it comes to fear, what issues or fears give you the most angst? When it comes to fear, what issues give you the most angst? Jackie says on Facebook, my children's well-being. Melinda says aging and knowing that God is in control. And many more great answers there. And there you'll find that you're not alone. Check it out on my Facebook page. Let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get the conversation started. Kristen Ditchfield, she's an accomplished educator, author, conference speaker, and host of the syndicated radio program Take It to Heart, heard daily on hundreds of stations across the U.S. and around the world. She's the author of more than, count them, 65 books translated into half a dozen languages. And you can find her materials and more about her on the web at our website, myfaithradio.com. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's great to be with you.
So we love to start out our conversations talking scripture because we love the Word of God here. It's living and active, and it's always great for all of us to hear how God is speaking to each of our guests. And you chose Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Beautiful passage. Tell us why you chose that one.
It could be my personal testimony, that verse right there. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from being paralyzed by fear, from living a life of fear, from that spirit of fear that held me captive for so long. And one of the words that maybe catches us off guard in that verse, but I think is so powerful, is shame. Our faces are never covered in shame because I think as believers, as Christ followers, we know that we're not supposed to be afraid. We're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to just trust God. And yet sometimes we find that very hard to do. And so there's guilt and shame. We know that the things that we fear sometimes are totally irrational, but that doesn't always help. And so there's a lot of shame involved in facing fear, in battling fear. And when we look to the Lord, He answers us and He delivers us. And our faces are never covered in shame.
Yeah, there really is something about a countenance that knows the peace of God, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, oftentimes when you talk with people who battle fear, you'll hear that there's a childhood that's been marked by things that they never should have seen at that age. But then there's other times you meet folks who say, I had a great childhood, and you wrote that in your book. But still, fear becomes a battle. And honestly, I think it's because the enemy sees our potential long before we do. And so whatever way he can get fear in, he will do that. Talk about your childhood, but then how fear really kind of found its way into your heart.
Well, you know, I started out like a lot of kids, afraid of spiders and crickets and things that go bump in the night, or maybe like some children. I think we all have different temperaments, but I was afraid of those kinds of things. I was afraid of the dark and afraid of dogs. I had a scary experience before I can even remember, but my parents remember, and I was traumatized by a scary dog, and so I was afraid of all dogs and, you know, all kinds of what we might consider ordinary childhood fears, except that they had an inordinate place in my heart and life, and I was terrified all the time and very fearful and anxious as a child. And as I got older, though, it was interesting. Some of those things didn't scare me as much anymore. When you're 12, you're not as scared of spiders or pet dogs, okay? But that fear shifted inward, and I suddenly became very self-conscious about my appearance, about my personality. I didn't want to be laughed at or made fun of. I didn't fit in at school. I didn't know, you know, I grew up Christian, really Christian, so I didn't know any of the TV stars or rock stars, or I just didn't fit in, and people would always be laughing at me or mocking me, or, you know, I just felt very self-conscious that they would. And so I became horrifically shy, and I got to the point where I was so terrified I couldn't even speak to a sales clerk. I couldn't ask if they had my size or call and order a pizza, and certainly couldn't walk into a room full of people I didn't know and make conversation and make friends. And it was a terrible thing for me. I look back at that time. You know, since then, I experience, I think, the kind of ordinary fear that most people can relate to, that kind of worry or anxiety or stress, and I battle that like everybody else. But in my childhood, the fear was greatly disproportionate, and it was an all-consuming thing. I think I remember most about that time in my life is facing fear constantly on a daily basis.
And yet you look at what you do now. I mean, you do radio on an international level. You've written a gazillion books. You speak at conferences. I still say that enemy sees our potential long before we ever do, you know? You think about how that he leveled it at you, tried to paralyze you. And even one story that caught me in your book is here you love books even as a child. And the concept of going to a library and being able to check out 30 books is like, you know, Candyland for somebody else, and you're ready to check out all these books, and your mom, managing her other kids, tells you to go get your own library card, and you were ready to walk away from this dream of going out with arms full of books so that you wouldn't have to face that clerk. Say a little bit more about that story and what you were feeling at that time.
Oh, I was terrified. I'd spent 2 hours going through the young adult section, culling my 60 or 70 pile stack down to the 30 that you were allowed. I was a big reader because that was my escape. And when my mom told me I needed to go up to the clerk and say, may I have a library card, please? I was shaking my head. I was begging. I was pleading. It was so terrifying. And finally, I threatened her, being a strong-willed child. I told her I would put all the books back. Fine. And that day, she gave in. But, you know, another day, she didn't. My parents wanted me to go to a Sunday school class at a new church, and it was at a different campus. They had too many kids to fit in the one building. And they were determined that I was going to go to Sunday school. I was in high school. I was in ninth grade. And they drove up to the curb, kicked me out of the car, and drove away. And I stood there sobbing. I mean, I had tears streaming down my face. I was shaking because I was so terrified of walking into a building full of people I didn't know and having to say, hello, how are you? And that was one of those, you know, kind of, I can still remember what I was wearing. I still remember what the weather was like. It's a memory that's burned in my brain. And yet, in part because of some of the experiences I had in that youth group, God got a hold of my heart, and I began to fall in love with Jesus as a young adult, not just with that childhood faith of Jesus loves me, this I know. That was my start. But in high school, began to really seek God for myself and really begin to have a relationship with him. And the scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. And that's what happened to me. His love got a hold of me, and I was never the same.
Well, you were in a place of utter dependence, and that is really a good place to start, right? I mean, when we depend on the Lord in those places of need, he meets us right there.
I think we have to be desperate. We have to be desperate enough that we're willing to change, desperate enough that we're willing to cry out to him and do whatever he tells us, you know, desperate enough. And so sometimes, I, you know, it's not a prayer I like to pray a lot, But sometimes I'll say, you know, because I've been there, Lord, make me desperate enough that I'm ready to do whatever it takes, whatever you want me to do, that I'm willing to do, to cry out to you and depend on you. Because my battles with fear, you know, because of those battles, they've led to some of the sweetest times in my relationship with the Lord, the times when I was just overwhelmed by his presence, when I knew, you know, without a shadow of a doubt that God was real and that he loved me and that he cared for me and that he was there fighting beside me, fighting for me.
Well, Kristen, I love that you continued to put one foot in front of the other and wrap your arms and your legs around that vine and hung on for dear life, because he's proven himself faithful. And the reason I wanted to bring up that library story, because here you're a young girl who loved to read. And so consequently, if you were to walk away in your stubbornness to go, I don't need a card, and your mom said, okay, fine, you would have, you know, so you walked away without a handful of books. But it's a picture of how fear can sabotage who God intends for us to be, because that was a little seed, a part of your destiny. And so I wanted just to speak to the impact. If we don't deal with our fears, really, they can get in the way of the best of what God has for us, because fear will bully us and powerfully motivate us to do the things or not do the things that are best for us. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely. I think God has a call on each of our lives. He has a purpose and a plan for each one of us, whether it's big scale or small scale, whether we can wrap our heads around it or not. He's got a plan. He's got things that he's brought us into this life, into this world to accomplish for his glory and his kingdom and for our good. And yet fear is something that can absolutely destroy that. It can get in the way. It can hinder us from obeying God, from doing what he's called us to do. And when we see that over and over in Scripture, where a men and women of Scripture gave in to fear, and they're giants in the land, you know, they didn't want to do what God told them to do. They couldn't trust him, and they couldn't have faith that he would be there for them. You know, sometimes our vision is too small because we're afraid. Well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what if the other? And you know, God wants to set us free from that. You know, it is possible to be delivered, to be set free from that fear, and to walk in freedom. Yes, I still battle fear. I still fear sometimes. I'm still tempted to fear, but I don't live in fear.
That's right.
I've been delivered and set free, and it makes all the difference in the world.
And that's why we're talking about this today, because it is possible to be delivered from fear. So it's almost like if you get a picture that fear had lived in your house, but then you've kicked him out of your house. He may come to the window, he may knock at the door, but you're dealing with fear on a whole different level when it's outside your house. I think that's a word picture that maybe is helpful. Well, I'm talking to Kristen Ditchfield today. She's got a new book titled What Woman Should Know About Facing Fear, Finding Freedom from Anxious Thoughts, Nagging Worries, and Crippling Fears. We've got three copies to give away today. Maybe you've got a question around this whole issue of how you get fear and put it onto your feet, and how do you walk free of fear? So as Kristen said, you may be tempted, you might battle it on occasion, but it's not a way of life anymore. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and I would love to hear from you. Here's an excerpt from your book, Kristen. I'd love to just read it and have you speak to it. You wrote, I wanted desperately to be free from the fear that tormented me, but it wouldn't let go of me. As I got older, it just got worse. The more I learned about the world we live in, the more I realized it's a scary place. I began to understand that my parents weren't all-seeing, all-knowing, or all-powerful. They couldn't protect me from everything. Only God could. But would he? And I think that is the prevailing question for so many. Bad things happen. Will he protect me? What do you say to that?
You know, I think that's really the hardest, the biggest reason that as believers sometimes we have a hard time trusting God, is because we know that sometimes he allows bad things to happen. Sometimes bad things, tragedies, crises happen, and we know that that's a possibility. So how can we trust him? And the answer to that is not that we trust him that bad things won't happen. It's not that if we trust him hard enough or believe hard enough or have enough faith, he's not going to allow anything hard or difficult or painful to happen to us. The trust comes in knowing that even if he does allow those difficult things, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. And he will be with us through those things every step of the way. And that ultimately, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And this life is not all there is. So it can only get so awful, you know? And then there's a time when we are set free forever, where there is no more mourning and no more crying and no more pain, and only the joy and the fulfillment and the excitement of his presence, the beauty of his presence. So it's keeping that eternal perspective that makes it possible for us to trust God, even when we don't understand.
Yeah, just this morning during my prayer time, was just praying through and thinking through Romans 8 about nothing can separate us from his love. And I was thinking, you know, we do live in a world where God has given us a gift of free will. And so because people have a free will, we will enjoy some blessing and we will incur some loss on this earth, but we can never lose his love. And I feel like that's really where we got to put our feet, because if we kind of have a hope, so I hope nothing bad ever happens to me in that, that's where I'm going to put my faith. Then we can even get, it'll weaken our faith, I think, because we will battle some loss and disappointment, but we cannot lose his love. And you even quote Romans 8 several times in your book. What do you say to that?
That's right. You know, our faith can't be that God won't let bad things happen. Our faith has to be in that he is who he is and that he loves us. I'll quote that verse because there's a great translation. I love the way the New Living translates it. It says, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons." Here it is. "Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." And when we begin to really understand and grasp that and hold tight to that, we have that courage like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were faced with a fiery furnace and said, "Our God is able to save us, but even if he does not, we're still not going to bow down to your idols. We're still going to worship the one true, living, almighty God." And that's the kind of faith we're aiming for.
Amen. And as you said in the book, there's some of our fears are sort of petty and small, and others are legitimate and huge. And I've battled a lot of fear my whole life, and God has brought me from strength to strength, and I've come such a long way. But one of my really ridiculous petty fears, I'd have this recurring dream as a speaker when I would go up, and my notes would just slide all over the stage, you know, before I get to the podium. And one day I'd get up in front of this huge audience, and what do you think happens? My notes slide all over the stage. And I just sort of laughed and picked them up, and I said, "Well, that wasn't so bad." I had a fear that was going to happen, and I'm still here, you know. But it is amazing how you can work things in your head and be paralyzed by them, but they're not as powerful as we make them, are they?
Right, and you know what, sometimes it helps to dig a little deeper and say, what am I really afraid of? Because you weren't really afraid that the paper would hit the floor. You were afraid that you would look foolish or that people would disrespect or, you know, look down on you or think she can't get her act together or she doesn't know what she's doing or why should we listen to her if she can't, you know, people that's the underlying fear. You want to be approved of. I do. We all do. We want to be approved of. We want to be liked. We want to be respected. We want people to think well of us. We want to do a good job. And those are the fears. You know, sometimes it helps to really look at, okay, what am I really afraid of? And do a little digging. Open our journal, let God shine his light in there and show us what we're really afraid of and help us confront those issues. Because as you said, it's not the worst thing in the world when your notes fall over the floor. And it can be a good thing when you can laugh and be real and be relatable and say, this is life, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So he's there to walk us through it.
I like that, because you really do need to think all the way through to the end. What is the core issue here? Because oftentimes you'll find a lie, if not all the time, you'll find a lie. The enemy's lying, because if this happens, then this, and that's then this isn't necessarily the end of the sentence, you know?
That's true.
Well, you said you learned three important lessons on fear, and I'd love for you to kind of unpack them. God used your fear to draw you to him. So take that one and explain how a person may be listening today who battles with fear, how actually what the enemy means for evil, God can really use for good if we let him. So talk about how he can use fear to draw us to him.
Well, we've touched on that earlier in terms of getting desperate where we're crying out for God. But because of that desperation, we're in prayer, we're searching our Bibles, we're spending time in the Word, we're memorizing Scripture. If we respond that way as we are on our journey trying to find freedom because we are so afraid, we got nothing else, we're totally dependent on him. I mean, that's where he meets us. That's where we see his miracles. I remember one time from high school, okay, as God was working in my life, I went away to a summer camp, which was a hugely terrifying thing for me, but it was part of the process. And there was one girl I knew that came with me, and so at least I had her in my cabin, right? So I wasn't totally afraid, this high school, you know, Christian camp, summer camp. And then we had a fight, and she told me that all the other girls in the cabin didn't like me, and we're all talking about how much they didn't like me.
Girls can be something else.
You know, for somebody who's horrifically shy and was trying
That's
to come
nightmare.
Out of that, beginning my journey, it was awful. And in my desperation, I cried out to God, and I still remember my little ninth grade self repeating the scriptures that I had just begun to memorize, including one from Psalms, where it says, "He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you find refuge." And as I walked into the cafeteria for breakfast, shaking, you know, terrified, what am I going to do? It's 500 kids were at this camp, and I don't know anybody but this one girl who's not speaking to me. You know, I walked in, and all of a sudden, I could feel the presence of the Lord wrapping his arms around me, and he led me to a table full of perfectly friendly, lovely people, and we had a pleasant conversation, and I'd never experienced anything like that, but I was conscious of this warmth and this presence of God and saw him move on my behalf and help me and comfort me and strengthen me, and that was one tiny thing from my childhood. There have been hundreds of things like that since where I've seen God move, so my fear was a good thing because it made me desperate for him, and it brought me to him, and it led me to so many of these sweet experiences of his presence.
Oh, that's so good. And just to, you know, something that I'm pulling out of that story, it is so typical of the enemy to overstate things through people, maybe use their own weakness. Everybody feels this way about you, or you've really made a huge mess of things. I think things get overplayed and overstated, and the enemy will use that to bully us around, because that, I'm sure, was not true. She was just trying to add weight to her case. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And
right.
But I think, you know, for you to have the courage to get up and go to lunch, I mean, that's another just an element that we can go, you know, that enemy tries to single us out and make it feel like far more are against us than for us. But that's why scripture says more are for you than against you, you know?
Right. Mm. That's right. And, you know, I'm mindful of the fact that we've kind of shared a number of stories from my teenage years. And if somebody, you know, somebody's listening thinking, well, that, you know, big deal. You should deal with what I'm dealing with. You should face what I'm facing. And I'm going to tell you, I've been through a lot in the last 20 years, and I have faced some really serious, heartbreaking, heartrending loss and grief and betrayal and things that I dreaded, and they came and they happened, and I've lived through those things in my adult life. But that's the amazing and wonderful thing about our journey is we're all in different places at different stages in our journey. For some of us right now, fear is just kind of a little anxious thought in the back of our heads. For some of us, it's paralyzing. We can't leave our homes. You know, it has different faces. It comes in different shapes and sizes. But God is faithful, and he's able to work in each one of our hearts at different times in our lives and in different ways in the way that we need it, so that he can draw us into a deeper relationship with him, so that he can bring us to a place of freedom. So whatever fear you're facing, whether it's something like being shy or whether it's something like spiders or whether it's something like cancer, God is faithful, and he is able to deliver you from your fear and to walk with you through whatever path he's called you to walk.
I so appreciate you saying that, Kristen, and that's absolutely true. And what's also true is God cared about your little 9-year-old self and 12-year-old self as much as
yeah.
he cares about you in your 40s dealing with whatever, you know, and that he's near and he loves us and that he really honors our struggle. It's amazing. So he used your fear to draw you to him. And then you said, and you touched on this in the beginning of the show, you write, it's possible to be set free from fear. Say another word about that.
You know, when I sat down to write this book, this is my personal testimony as well as a lot of the things that I've been learning over the years in my battles and ministering to women around the country at conferences and retreats. It was wonderful to be able to sit down and just kind of pull it all together. But, you know, I spent a few days just trying to really get my head back into that place. What was it like when? And reliving those experiences. And the reason it took me that time is because my life is so different now. You know, if I were to list the top 10 things that I battle with right now in my personal life, fear wouldn't even be in the top 10. And that is so staggering and mind-blowing to me. I actually forgot how it feels. I had to go back and relive it and try to feel it again. And I just, you know, I spent that time just thanking God and crying and praising him and worshiping him because I'd forgotten how bad it was and realized how far I've come. Through his grace, by his grace, in his strength. And that's what I want to share today, is that there is hope and there is freedom. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Yes, sometimes it's a battle, and sometimes you take a few steps back, and sometimes something comes along that knocks you for a loop. But there is freedom and there is hope, and I've experienced that. I'm here to tell you. He touched me. Jesus touched my heart and my life, and I've never been the same.
It is so powerful, Kristen, to even hear you say that it's not even in your top 10. I mean, you are living, breathing proof. And that third point we'll get after the break is that you said when you feel afraid now, you see it as an alert, an indicator, or a warning. And there's something we can learn about that when our fear is stirred up. And Regina's calling in from Winchester, Tennessee, with a testimony. We're going to get that call in just a moment. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. And we're talking about facing fear and that it is possible to not be bullied and pushed around by your fears anymore. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Maybe you want to chime into the conversation. Tell us what God has done in your life regarding fear, or maybe we can stand with you in prayer. We'd love to do that too. More with Kristen Ditchfield in just a moment.
You crush the
God of angel armies is always by your side. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Isn't God good? He cares about you. He is with you in this journey, and he is going to make you a victor. Overwhelming victory belongs to you because you belong to him. I'm talking to Kristen Ditchfield today. She's written a book titled What Women Should Know About Facing Fear, but this message really is for both men and women. And just asking for your testimonies today, or maybe you've got a question for our guest, here's that number, 877-933-2484. We've got Regina calling in from Winchester, Tennessee. Regina, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Suzy.
Mm-hmm. Good to have you. So you say you have something to share about how you overcame fear?
Well, I've been living a long time under the pressure and control of an abusive father, and I was able to dissociate most of my life, and it just stopped working. So I had to kind of face what kind of person he was and be able to function in his presence after losing my mother. And so I needed to be able to tell him what he had done and how it affected my life all those years, and became to be a very crushing and debilitating thing. So I've never done it before, but last week I sent a prayer request that I would overcome that fear and that he would be open to listen to me. And just a couple days later, I was able to do that. And I know the Spirit was with me, and I was able to say everything without falling apart or crying or forgetting what was significant about that, and I think we'll be able to go forward now.
Wow.
And I've certainly been able to sleep better and feel more like I'm in control of me now with the Lord's help.
Regina, that's an amazing testimony. And Kristen, do you want to say anything?
Well, I'm just excited for you, and I think your story is powerful in reminding us that every one of us is on a journey, and the fear that we have to confront is different for each one of us. So we don't let anybody else tell us what being brave looks like.
Exactly.
We don't look at anybody else and think, oh, I wish I was as brave as them, or if only I did this or that or the other. Sometimes being brave, being fearless, being courageous, is standing up to somebody and setting some boundaries, or being honest about how we feel and how we've been hurt, and dealing with a relationship issue. And sometimes it's confronting some other type of fear. So every one of us is on a different journey, but I'm so excited and happy for you. I know it sounds like a funny word, but excited because I know this is just the beginning of a new adventure for you, a new journey of faith as God continues to strengthen you and sustain you and lead you into further freedom.
Yes. Thank you, Regina, so much for the call, and you'll get a copy of Kristen's book. Well, you know, it's so easy. If we're not careful, we can actually get into a self-righteous mindset when it comes to the fears of others. I love that you brought that up, and that it's different for each of us. And one could say, well, I'm not afraid to fly, you know, and I can't believe you are, but they would never drive downtown by themselves, you know. And, and we can tend to do that where I don't even relate to your fear. I don't know what your problem is, but it's like, oh, my goodness, you might have 10 others. And so what I love about God is that he loves us so deeply that he'll never roll his eyes or breathe a heavy sigh because of our fears, because he wants us just to have a breakthrough. And I would love it, because you communicated God's heart, I feel like, so well in your book. Give us just a picture of God's heart when it comes to my fears, even if they're different from your fears.
Well, I think that's one of the just things that overwhelms me is the older I get, the more in awe I am of the tenderness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, that he doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve, the psalmist says, but he's merciful and he's gracious and he's patient. And he never says, oh, you're so silly, or I've had enough of that, or, you know, if you would just trust me. he leads us into a place where we can depend on him and rely on him and grow in him. And, yes, sometimes he challenges us to take steps that we're afraid to take, but he never leaves us on our own. One of my favorite translations, we all know that scripture in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But here's what it sounds like in the Amplified Version. I think it kind of gives us a fuller picture. He, God himself, has said, you know, this isn't just my word or somebody else's word. He, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.
I love it. Beautiful. I'm thinking somebody listening today feels like that was a lifeline just for them. It's amazing, his love for us. And we have to remember that, because perfect love casts out fear. And I think fear gets its stronger hold on us when we forget God's love. And to me, that's been one of the antidotes, really. When fear starts to rise up, I really do fixate, focus on God's love, and then I can see clearly again, which really brings us to this third point, because we said before the break that God used your fear to draw you to him. It just taught you a healthy dependence, but that it is possible to be set free so you're not living with fear, paralyzed by fear. Well, that third point you said, now when you feel afraid, you see it as an alert, an indicator, and a warning, because there's a place for fear in our lives. So say a word about that.
Sure. You know, not all fear is wrong or bad or unhealthy or unnatural. I mean, there's good fear. There's the fear of the Lord, reverence and respect for him. And there's a healthy fear of doing dangerous or foolish things. I mean, God's given us fear of to warn us and help us. I have a healthy fear of running out into traffic or sticking my hand in the oven without an oven mitt. I mean, fear serves as a warning or alert. And sometimes in our relationships, sometimes in situations that we find ourselves in as we go about our daily lives, we feel fear. And God is warning us. He's alerting us to something is not right. Something is not right with this situation or not right with this relationship. And so that feeling can be a great warning. And if we'll pay attention, those fear that, you know, that can protect us, that can make us alert. But of course, you know, it can also be a great indicator. I like to say fear always tells us something, but it doesn't always tell us the truth.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So we have to examine those feelings. And if I'm really afraid of something, I have to stop and look and say, okay, am I afraid because I'm not trusting God with this? Am I afraid because I'm afraid he's not going to do what I want him to do, and I'm trying to be the boss of my life and tell him what he ought to do in my friend's life or my family's life? Or, you know, am I afraid because I'm putting my hope in earthly things because I want to be liked more than I want to be obedient and faithful to him? You know, what is it? So fear can be an indicator that there's a heart issue going on. And so when I feel that, my jaw tensing, when I realize, sometimes when I'm afraid I realize, or anxious, I realize I'm holding my breath. So when I realize I'm holding my breath a lot, okay, take a deep breath and say, what is it that's really at the heart of this? And ask God to show me, because something's there that needs to be addressed.
You know, I was thinking about, I have coined this phrase just for myself that I based on several scripture, mostly from Proverbs, but I just often just tell myself and tell the girls that I'm mentoring, wisdom's path is always peace, because God leads us by his peace, right? And so we know that we're on wisdom's path when the Spirit of God and the peace of God marks our lives. And so there are times when we feel a fear and a lack of peace, as you said, and it's an alert. But just like even this summer, I was getting ready to take a big faith step in an area, and fear was rising up. And the Lord just whispered to my heart, but do you feel a lack of peace? And I thought, no, I have full peace. I know I've heard from you. So then what do you do with the fear? And that was such a great distinction for me. And so there's just times where you're in God's will and fear is rising up. What do you do, Kristen, for yourself when you're in that situation where you're like, I know I heard from the Lord, but all kinds of stuff is getting stirred up as I'm getting ready to step out or step back or whatever that choice is that I need to make?
Well, I like to do what the psalmist did, and that's preach to myself.
Yeah. I love it.
Over and over he said, be still my soul, or, you know, take heart my soul, or listen, you know, listen what the, you know, what the Lord has done. Be glad what the Lord has done for you, you know. So I do. I like to take a deep breath, maybe a few deep breaths, and really think and pray. And sometimes I find it really helpful to journal and just spill it all out there. It doesn't have to be fancy, but sometimes I don't really know what I'm thinking or feeling until I put it on paper. And then begin to speak to myself, okay, I know that God is faithful. I know that he has led me down this path. I know that if he led me on a different path, I would go there. I know that my heart's in the right place on this one. I've settled that. Or if it's not, I'll do a little business with God and make sure my heart's in the right place. And say, okay, I have that peace that you were talking about. All right. And get my perspective back on the things of God, that eternal perspective. You can put praise and worship on, and that has a powerful effect as we begin to worship and take our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and put them back where they belong, on him.
So good. Okay, so Linda called in. She says, I battle fear constantly. She says, I have MS, and one of my granddaughters has leukemia. It seems there's so much to be afraid of. And boy, you're right, Linda. There does seem to be so much afraid of. She says, any encouragement or advice? What do you say?
Well, you know, my heart goes out to you, and I know that's an incredibly difficult place to be. And there are so many questions, and it's hard to know what to hope for and what to pray for. And it's a long journey. And I had a lot of health issues a few years ago and I was at the doctor's 3 or 4 times a week and had multiple surgeries and complications. And so just in a tiny way, I can relate to how unpleasant and difficult and challenging that journey is, and how many fears rise up from day to day. Will it always be this painful? What if something goes wrong? How am I going to, you know, if things don't go right, or this doesn't, are things going to get worse, and what am I going to deal with? And so it's just a tiny taste of that, and it's an awful thing to deal with. But I know that God is faithful, and that he loves you very much, and that he has his hand on you, and that nothing that you're going to go through in the days and weeks to come can ever separate you from his love, and nothing is going to be permanent. You know, I think we need to keep our focus on that too. I love the old saint of God who'd been through many trials and tribulations. She was asked, what was her favorite scripture? And she came back with, and it came to pass.
Yeah.
She said, it says over and over in scripture, and it came to pass. And so that reminds me that my troubles and my sorrows and my grief and my trials, they came to pass, not to stay. To fix our eyes on that eternal. And I know sometimes that can sound like a shallow answer, and yet it's really not. Fixing our eyes on where we are headed and what our eternal hope is. And then remembering that God is faithful in the midst of it. And one of the things that I did that really helped me when I had, I think, 8 or 9 major surgeries in the course of 2 years, and my life was just misery and pain and nonstop drama and hospital stuff. And so I pulled out a calendar, and I determined that every day I was going to write in a square, because I kept it simple. Every day I was going to write one positive thing that happened to me, one, whether it was my favorite TV show came on, or whether it was a friend sent me a note or a card of encouragement, or a nurse who was a believer prayed with me, or, you know, the insurance came through, or whatever it was, or went to a movie with a friend who came and picked me up because I couldn't drive, or whatever it was, I tried to write down one thing that I was thankful for, because I knew that if I didn't, all of the negatives, all the hard things, all the difficult things, the fear would just grip my heart. And so for me, counting my blessings, as trite as it sounds, was a huge heart lifter and helped me really keep my eyes on. And once I started looking, you know, I couldn't fit them all in the square. You know, there were so many good things that God was doing, even in the midst of my pain and my heartache. And so I hope that helps you, Linda, and I'm praying for you and your granddaughter, and just asking the Lord to comfort you in a special way today, and to teach you things in this journey, to speak into your life and into her life in a way that you can truly say, you know, that you are grateful for the dark times, as many of us have learned, grateful for those hard times because of how sweet his presence is in the midst of it.
I think it's great advice, Kristen. There's something about scripture does say he inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, he moves in when we give thanks for all the things we can see. And again, as a person who struggled with fear and major, major health issues, especially as a young mom, when I would play it forward and go, if I feel this sick in my 20s, what am I going to be like in my 30s, in my 40s? It would paralyze me with fear. If I would think about all the things I couldn't do that other people my age could do, I would get paralyzed by it. But when I would start to think, like you said, the good things in my life, the things I could do, it's amazing how my spiritual eyes opened up. So there is something extremely important, even for people maybe who aren't struggling in health, but maybe they're watching too much of the news to the point of they're looking at all the things that could happen. When we fixate on it so long that we start to go wonder, it means we've gone beyond the grace to carry it, don't you think? I mean, there's a point where you go, I can't watch this anymore. I don't have the grace to take in this much and take in so little of God's promises. What do you say?
I think that's true. You know, Corrie Ten Boom famously said that worry doesn't, worry doesn't help us. It doesn't give us strength for today. It just it empties tomorrow of its strength. I'm paraphrasing there, but she said she talked about it emptying tomorrow of it, emptying today. Oh, it empties today of its strength. Pardon me. But I think too that a great question, and this is a painful one, but it's one that's brought me freedom in some areas in my life. When I start to say, why me and what if, you know, how can I live like this? How can I go on in this pain? How can I go on with this loss or this grief or this disappointment or this heartache? What if it gets worse? Because, you know, the enemy always wants to tell you it's going to get worse and how are you going to cope? Exactly what you were saying. The question that's really helped me is instead of saying why me is to say why not me? And to look at all the men and women around the world, our brothers and sisters who are suffering. There are people in my own family, in my own church, in my own neighborhood, and there are certainly believers around the world who are suffering and in pain and heartache. And when I look at what they're going through, I realize, you know, I can always find somebody who's going through more than I am or whose problems I wouldn't want to trade with. And say, okay, God, instead of saying, you know, how am I going to live with this? How am I going to manage? I'm going to thank you that you know what I can bear with your grace and your strength. You know what's best for me, and you'll never leave me or forsake me. So I'm just going to trust in you and the love that you have for me.
And that is so true. You know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We assign something heavier to us. And I always feel like when it feels too heavy to bear, it's because I'm carrying it in the wrong way. There's just a better way to carry it. There's parts of it that he wants to carry. There's worries that make the load heavier. And so I like what you said about then it's just time, one way or another, to do business with the Lord and find out, Lord, what part of this do you need to be carrying that I'm taking on? And okay, so we've got a listener named Stephen. He emailed us around the subject of fear. He says, I found it interesting that in Genesis 3:10, Adam answered God, who was looking for him. He said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. He said, Adam received the understanding of good and evil, and with the knowledge of his sin, he became afraid. And he just, that was a comment, think that, you know, the understanding of it really is what made him afraid. What do you say?
Well, and that's where that verse, you know, we can understand it on many different levels, but the original context of that verse, perfect love casts out fear, has to do with judgment and condemnation. I mean, if there's no Jesus, if there's no heaven, if there's no hope, or if all those things are real but they aren't ours, then there's nothing left for us but fear and terror. But when we know the love God has for us, when we know that we are sinners in need of a Savior and that he has come and has provided that way for us, that there is healing and deliverance, and there is the hope of heaven, then there isn't anything really to fear. I mean, we may feel that fear temporarily, but ultimately, you know, we have that eternal hope, and that's how perfect love casts out fear.
Remember a friend, her husband was a youth pastor, and she was sitting in the room with the youth, and there was Christmas lights dangled across the ceiling, and her husband was up there teaching, and he pointed up to a little piece of tape on this long, long, long string of Christmas lights that were lighting up the ceiling. And he says, kids, you see that little piece of tape over there on the lights? And they're all like, yeah, I see that. And he said, that represents our time on this earth. And the rest of the light, that whole string, that's eternity. And he said, and so things feel heavy and so big, but you got to live and think with eternity in mind. Think in the long haul. And I thought that is so good because we can get very, very absorbed in the now. But this is as bad as it gets down here. And we've got an eternity to look forward to. I just thought that was so helpful.
That's right. And, you know, we can't even begin to imagine all that God has in store and the beauty and the glory. And sometimes we need to dig in and press in and find ways to remind ourselves of that on a daily basis, whether it's through scripture memory or a Bible study or what we choose to tuning into Christian radio or meeting with a friend who's an encourager. Sometimes we may need counseling or other kinds of help. I mean, God's provided so much help out there for us in the body of Christ and in through his own spirit. And so, you know, take advantage of those things that are out there. Be proactive. I love what you said about figuring out which parts are ours to carry, because, yes, God carries our burdens for us, but there are things that we can do and things that he asks us to do to help fight for our own freedom, to take ownership of those issues that we're wrestling with. And so there is help available. And spend a little time figuring out what kind of help you need, or somebody who can help you figure out what kind of help you need. And be persistent and passionate in your pursuit of freedom.
Indeed. You're speaking my language as well. Would you establish a connection between our fears and our desire for control and how it plays out in perfectionism and risk avoidance, people-pleasing, passivity, aggression, denial, self-sabotage? All these different ways are just sort of indirect ways where we're trying to manage and keep control as if that's going to waylay our fears. Say a word about surrender versus control, especially when it comes to our fears.
You know, that's one of the most fascinating things as I've gone on in my journey, is to realize that sometimes I think I'm dealing with an anger problem, or I think, you know, I just need to get my temper under control, or I think I'm dealing with some other type of problem. And when I really think about it, underneath it is fear, because I'm angry because I'm afraid, because I'm worried, because I can't make everything work the way I think it should or the way I want it to, or, you know, in my life or my friends' lives or my family's lives. I just want to fix everything. I want to heal everything. I want everything to be just right, or frankly, sometimes just the way I want it and the way I think it should be done. And when I can't do that, sometimes there is great fear, and it manifests itself in different ways for all of us. But coming to that place where we realize we really don't control it anyway, no matter how much we think we can control it, you can't protect yourself from every possible pain or hurt or heartache, and you can't do that for the people that you love. There is no way. You can't live in a bubble or wrap them up in bubble wrap and keep them in a safe place. That's not the world that we live in or the life that God has called us to. So we have to, again, surrender that and realize that he is God, as he is in control. He loves our loved ones even more than we do, and he has their best at heart and their best in his will and his purpose for them. And so we've got to stop trying to control if we can't. It's a process. It's a journey. But let go. Stop gripping so tightly from the passenger side. You know, we're not steering the car anyway. So let go and allow him to do what he wants to do, and just relax. You know, it sounds simple. I know it's not always that easy, but take a few deep breaths and relax and let him take control and see where he'll lead us.
And, you know, there's something about being so present in the moment that you can actually find those pools of blessings in those valleys of the shadow. I mean, I just remember that, just times where I was overcome by fear because of medical debt, which, you know, the ripple effect of what's it going to mean? Are we going to lose our house? Am I going to lose my health? But I remember one day just being so wrapped up in fear and so tired of it. I took my three little guys out to the sandbox. It was a beautiful sunny day. I still was sick, but I had enough, you know, energy to sit out there with them. And the sun was on my face. The sky was blue. The birds were singing. And I had a beautiful moment with God and with my kids. And I just thought, how many moments have I surrendered and given away to the enemy because I used them, just totally paralyzed by fear? And so there is grace to be in the moment. That does take some work, doesn't it, for renewing our mind and putting some boundaries about where our rogue thoughts want to go.
Being intentional about it and recognizing it, and that's something we can pray for. You know, we don't take this journey in miles; we take it in steps. And so, one thing at a time. And sometimes it starts with just saying, "Lord, show me what's really in my heart. Show me what the issue is that I really need to deal with." And then, okay, Lord, show me how to battle this. Show me, you know, help me to pause. Speak to me by your spirit as I'm going through my day. Help me to stop and be present and notice what you're doing in my heart or in my life. And just let everything go and focus in, zero in on him. So it is one step at a time, and it's all along the way, and it's not, our journey's not always in a straight line. Sometimes it doubles back and loops the loop. But we don't have to make that journey alone. We have Jesus and we have each other.
That's so good. Well, we just have a few minutes left. I thought statistics you cited were so interesting regarding our fears. 40% will never happen. 30% have already happened, things in the past we can't change or undo. 12% are health-related, which is ironic since worry aggravates most health issues. 10% are petty, random, and miscellaneous, leaving only 8% as legitimate issues, which is really amazing sort of when you break it down, how much mileage the enemy gets out of our day when we don't put a stop to it. So with a little bit of time we have left, I want you to talk about, these are principles, out of your chapter, Forget Not, and they're just ways to stand. And the first one is remember who God is. The next one is resist the enemy of your soul. Then refute the doubts, guard your heart, renew your mind, and refresh your spirit. Say a word about remembering who God is when you're battling the fears.
You know, that's taking a look at Scripture, at history, at our own lives, and remembering the things that God has done. In the Psalms, over and over, he would recount. He led us out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He did this. He did that. He did the other. And when we do that, we go through Scripture, and we look at all the times God moved. That's one way. And then another way, which is fabulous in this age of scrapbooking and blogging and Facebook, is to look through our own lives and say, remember when we thought this was going to happen? Remember when we lost our home? Or remember when we went through this marriage crisis? Or remember when our son was really hurt? Or remember when that person broke up with us? Or remember when? And, you know, God brought us through all of those times. And we're still here. You know, we're still here. We thought, I could never live with this or without that. And we're still here. God's brought us through so many things. So memorialize them, scrapbook them, blog them, journal about them, and remember what God's done in your heart and life. That's the, you know, that's the thing I keep coming back to with the crises that I'm facing right now or in my own family is we look around and say, okay, God, you have been faithful. We've been here before.
Yeah.
We've been at the edge of the Red Sea before, and you have been faithful. So I know, I'm not going to waste the time and the energy getting all worked up. I know that you have an answer. You have a solution that is already on the way, and I'm just going to start praising you for it right now.
Okay, this is such a good step. Resist the enemy of your soul and refute your doubts. We probably just have about 30 seconds before I have you pray, but say a word about that.
Well, you know, we need to resist. Not every thought that comes into our head has to be embraced and made a home for. You know, we've got to resist some of those thoughts, especially if they're lies, if they're doubts, if they're fears. Resist them, but not just with our own logic, because our logic can fail us. Resist them with the truth. Speak Scripture. You know, spend some time finding some Scriptures. I've got some on one of my blog posts, 52 verses on facing fear, and there are some in the book. Well, there are a lot in the book as well. But find the Scriptures that speak to you and begin to refute the lies of the enemy with the truth. You know, we don't want to get in an argument with him. We'll lose. But we can follow Jesus' model and say, it is written.
Mm. Amen, amen. Kristen, this has been such a sweet, sweet time. And I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind as we close, if you would pray for that person who's felt maybe stirred up and who really wants to walk free like you really have expressed what God has done for you. Would you pray that God would do that for them as well?
Yeah. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this brother or sister listening today who is desperate enough to want more of you and to want freedom from their fear. Lord, I just pray that you would stir their hearts with hope, that you would give them comfort in this moment and the assurance of your presence, that you have led them all the way to this place and this moment and this time, and that you have a purpose for this. You have a plan for all of this. You are at work. You have not abandoned them or left them on their own, and that you have a journey for them to begin, a new adventure of faith. They are going to learn to know you in a whole new way and experience your power and your freedom in their lives. And a year from now or 5 years from now, when they look back, they won't even be able to remember how terrible it was or how afraid they were or how anxious or stressed. They're going to look back and say, was that me? And say, because it's all because of him.
Hmm.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for the work that you're beginning, and I praise you for it. And I pray that you would send them all the help that they need along their journey, the comfort and encouragement of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Kristen Ditchfield, thank you for your time today.
Such a blessing.
Pleasure to talk with you. So glad you tuned in today as well. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Share this with a friend who deals with fear. I think they'll be very encouraged. Tomorrow I'll be talking to Shanti Feldhahn about secrets she's discovered to a successful and happy marriage. Focus on the family's everyday relationships is next. So we're going to have a few laughs, so don't go away.